Greet each one of you in the name of the one, our Lord Jesus Christ, who can lift us up. I really enjoyed that song. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. We're no longer falling on our faces, but rather we are standing by faith. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. It's a goal. I search for better things. And I really enjoyed the service so far. There's a lot of talk about the beauty of the snow. But you know, we could talk about the other side of it. So I'm out there this morning, my hands are freezing, and I gotta clear this driveway again. It's not even the middle of December yet. We're so quick to focus on the negatives and lose our joy. I can be there and I can be looking at the beauty of this fresh coat of powdered snow, and the breeze starts to blow and the snow's blowing through the woods, and it's just beautiful. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Those dark things, the things that take our joy away. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. Satan's constantly trying to get us down, to take our joy. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. And that's my goal here this morning, that we could catch a gleam of glory bright. Just recently, I was listening to a man from the country of Ukraine. And you all know that his country is at war with an enemy. And this enemy had taken one of their cities, and they had pronounced back in November that the city was fully liberated, in the enemy's terms. And they were somewhat gloating over the fact, and they're saying, we're going to take a lot more of the cities this way. Well, this man from Ukraine was jubilant, because here in December, the Ukrainian army, his country's army, had surrounded that city and had trapped the enemy soldiers within, and they were taking the upper hand in that area. So he was very jubilant about that. He was excited. After all the reports of defeat, there was a victory. And victory brings excitement and new life. We're not fighting in armies. We are fighting in the spiritual army, the spiritual battle. Another story is a man of, well, about 2,000 years ago, there was another group of people that felt very defeated. Sin had taken its toll on them as they allowed the enemy, which of course was Satan, to bind them into bondage. They were no longer free men. They were slaves, servants to the Roman government. But it was a bondage much deeper than physical. It was spiritual. There was a period not too long before this that the Maccabees had fought valiantly and actually were victorious over the enemy. And they had a brief period where they were their own country once again. But it was just a matter of a short time. And the Romans came through and changed all that again. The Pharisees tried to get the Israelites to follow God's law more closely. Surely that's the answer. Of course it was the answer, but we all know where that took them. They were still in bondage. Survival was difficult as they labored to survive. And they were able to only keep barely enough for themselves. And we know that the tax collectors were hated men as they took what was legally the Roman government. And they also took more, it seemed, than that. And they cheated the common folk out of even more than what they actually owed. Spiritual leaders put on a show of piety, but at the same time, they also oppressed the people. Jesus talked quite a bit about that, the oppression, even in their hypocrisy. It was a dark time. Victories were rare, and excitement was scarce. I want to take you to Luke 1. I want to focus especially on one particular aspect of the joy of one particular aspect of Jesus coming as a baby. And that is the joy of Jesus coming. That's the title this morning. The joy of Jesus coming. I want to spend a little bit of time here in Luke 1, just looking at the build-up to the story in Luke 2. In Luke 1, we're going to start in at verse 5 and read to verse 16. I want to think about Zacharias' feelings. Zacharias was a man who was living in these same dark times as everybody else. And it says here he was a righteous man. He was doing what was right. And yet he was suffering under the bondage that was caused by all those around him who were not doing what was right. So he was suffering from others' failures. Starting in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. What a testimony to have. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. We see the joy here that was being promised, and this was not even yet the birth of Jesus. This was the birth of John the Baptist. And like I mentioned before, I'm sure that Zacharias and his wife were vexed by the wickedness of their peers. But we see that that did not get them down. They were simply doing what we need to do in dark times. We simply do what's right. They were serving God to the best of their ability. They knew that they themselves were responsible to God, and they were doing what they were supposed to do. And when times are dark, we simply keep serving. We can't fix everyone else, but we can be right with God ourselves. We can be the people that God wants us to be. In verse 12, the angel stood there, and it says that his heart was stricken with fear. And you have to think, we have to wonder what Zacharias thought. Is he thinking, what judgment's coming now? Do we not have enough? But then verse 14 is talking about the joy that was prophesied. And this joy was because his son would prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what would bring joy. Drop down to verse 44. Now we know that an angel came to Mary as well. And as Mary was trying to, later it says she pondered these things in her heart. She had a habit of doing that, which is a good thing. And she went to see her relative, which is Elizabeth. In verse 44, this is Elizabeth speaking. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. We see that even before John the Baptist was born, he was leaping for joy, as there was something exciting that was about to happen. Drop down to verse 76. Now we know that John the Baptist was born. We know that Zacharias was dumb. He could not speak for a period of time because the angel had closed his mouth, so to speak. And all the neighbors came over after this baby was born in their old age to rejoice with them, and they always named the baby. So they asked, they said his name is going to be Zacharias, of course, because you name the firstborn after the father. And Elizabeth said, no, his name is going to be John. And of course, that had them puzzled, so they well, Zacharias, what do you have to say? So Zacharias asked for a paper, and he says, he wrote down, his name is John. And just like that, his mouth was opened up, and he could speak. Coming in here at verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. He was not the highest. He was a prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. This knowledge of the chance to be saved from our sins is what was bringing the joy. Through the tender mercy of our Lord, of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. These people knew what darkness was. And here was a promise of a light in the darkness. It takes us into Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 also starts with darkness. They had the dreaded tax. The Roman government was forcing them, where they count the people, or whatever was going on there along with it being taxed. But Joseph was a submissive man. He did what he was supposed to do, but it was a hard submission for him. Because not only did he have to make a difficult trip to Bethlehem, he had to do it with a pregnant wife. This was not an easy decision, I'm sure. But out of this pain and out of this struggle, a baby was born. Luke 2, jumping in at verse 8. Again, we're focusing on the joy. Jumping in at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Again, just like Zacharias was, this was something different. It brought fear into the heart. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. As if good tidings was not enough. We all like good news, right? But it was not just good news. It was good news of great joy. It was excitement that was here with it. Which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. But we'll stop there. These angels were excited. They were full of joy. They were praising God in the sight of men like I don't know if they ever did before. And we ask, why? What's going on? Why would the heaven open up with jubilant angels singing? I wish we had this song in our books. I look for it. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I just cannot imagine what it must have been like to hear these angels singing that. I think we'll get to experience that. I look forward to experiencing that, but I've never seen it in this life. Never. And these poor shepherds out there in the dark night, they got to see it. They were blessed beyond what we ever will be in this earth, I believe. But why was the spiritual realm so full of joy, so excited? Why? Because this baby that was born was none other than God's own son. This baby was none other than God on earth. These angels knew the power of God. And they knew that amazing things were about to happen because we had the power of God is now on earth. And angels understood the spiritual realm better than what we ever will. I don't think we grasp the concept of what it means to have the power of God here on earth. Yes, God has spoken through godly prophets in the past, as we read about in Hebrews 1. But now God was going to speak through his own son. See, the angels not only knew God's power, they also knew the enemy. The angels knew the enemy's power. The angels knew the damage that Satan had done in the realms of heaven, as a third of the angels were cast out. The terrible harm. And they saw the terrible harm that Satan did here on earth as well. Satan destroyed so much of what God had created perfect. And we see the darkness all around us. The marriages that end in fighting divorce. The promising lives that are lying drunk or drugged on the streets. The soldiers that are killing and driving families from their homes, and that's just the beginning of the horrors of our world. This is all the darkness that Satan has brought into God's perfect world. And if that's where the story had ended, there would be no cause for joy. But the angels knew that God's own son was now on the earth. There was hope for mankind. And every time you have hope, you have joy. When you have something to look forward to, it brings joy. It brings a brighter outlook in life. I don't know how much of God's plan that the angels knew, understood. I know they don't understand everything, we're told. But they did know God, and they understood that the spiritual battle much better than what we do. And the angels knew that God on earth could only be cause for great joy. We also know that the angels are messengers of God, so we know that God himself had great joy in this occasion, as his own son was born here on earth. What is our response to this amazing gift of Jesus, of God, here on earth? Are we aware of the spiritual battle between good and evil? Do we get excited when we see God working? We see relationships that are healed with God's love. We see addictions that are overcome with the power of God. We see lives that are saved from the bondage of sin, set free from Satan's grasp. And it brings so much joy into our hearts when we see God's power working here on earth. But Satan wants to sidetrack us, just like my decision this morning whether to see the beauty in the snow or to grumble about the same thing. Satan wants to sidetrack us with the darkness. In the Old Testament times, the children of Israel were constantly sidetracked by other gods. It seemed so frustrating to God the Father. But today, we're a lot smarter than that. Or are we? Are we? So we get busy pursuing the God of wealth, accumulating more and more for ourselves. Maybe it's not riches, maybe it's just more stuff. As people chase the fleeting god of fame, they want to be well known, to be recognized, to have people know they exist. Some people try to acquire the god of power over others. They want to make others serve them. Others go after the god of pleasure. If it feels good, do it. Bring it on. Whatever feels good, let's go there. That's what some people live for. And we know they're disappointed. We talked about that in Sunday school, the advertisements, the promising the world, and we get them and they're disappointment. And that's the way it is with pleasure, if you're serving the god of pleasure. Some chase the god of health, always focusing on themselves. And all these things are simply the god of self. That's all they are. The god of selfishness. Putting myself in the place of where God needs to be. And the worship becomes on myself, the focus on myself. And as Satan draws us away from God's joy, he uses our own lusts to draw us to him. But he also sidetracks us with good things. You all know the story of Martha, who was encumbered about with much serving because she was making a meal for none other than Jesus Christ and his disciples. There's no other service that could be better than that, right? But Jesus told her, "You're missing the point." Serving is good. Of course it is. But worshiping is even better. Service without joy is missing the point. What if we are so busy serving that we forget the joy? I was sitting in the living room of one of my widow neighbors yesterday, and she said she had been at their church yesterday morning, and one of the ladies gave a talk at their ladies' meeting, and the talk was about how we can get so busy doing so much in Christmas, the serving, the planning, and all the stuff that goes on over Christmas. And you ladies know it better than what we do. We just keep doing our job, and the family reunions, the family comes around. Some of you might give gifts. What are we going to give? And there's decisions, and I don't like those decisions. Church events, all those things that need planning and need serving. We can get so busy that we forget the reason for the season. We can be so busy serving that we get sidetracked and forget the joy. Thinking about Jesus' birth should bring great joy to us, just like it did for the angels. It should bring peace to our hearts, like it was promised that Jesus would bring peace on earth. But that peace will only be in our hearts if we accept his gift. Jesus brought God's word here to earth. I think that's another thing that had the angels excited, because there was so much deception, so much untruth. And for Jesus to bring that truth here to earth and to expose the darkness and to shine a light, they were excited about that. But the enemy is also so determined to close that light back over with darkness. Jesus gave his life as a pardon for my sins. And we need to understand the value of that. And it should bring joy. It should bring great joy. We should be singing from the rooftops, from the heavens, so to speak, just like the angels were. What should our reaction be to Jesus' birth? If you look at 2 verse 17... I didn't read that far, but these shepherds had gone and they had seen this child. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which they were told by the shepherds. If you've seen the goodness of God, make it known abroad. Talk about it. Stop putting your light under your bucket and sitting on your bucket. You're not supposed to do that. Let your light shine. Tell others about what God is doing in your life. Be excited. Never be ashamed of the one who has given his life for us. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. When you return to daily life, you've witnessed the goodness of God. You've told others, but life goes back to normal, right? What happens when you return to daily life? Well, you glorify and praise God, just like these shepherds did. Show off your joy. If Jesus has set you free from the bondage of sin, embrace the freedom. Do not let Satan pull us back into the darkness. We need to cast that temptation off. We need to push back against the darkness and keep our light shining brightly and full of joy. In conclusion, If the trials of life have gotten you down, read Luke chapter 2. Think about Joseph and Mary and all those around them and the struggles that they were going through, the darkness that was all around them. And think about the difference that Jesus made in their lives and the joy that it brought, not just to the heavenly kingdom, but also to the earthly kingdom. The intense joy, the praise bursting forth. Read how excited the shepherds were and how they just wanted to tell everybody about what they had seen because they were just it was just too much for them to keep inside. Just the thought of God on earth, the concept of God here on earth, is reason enough to be joyful no matter what we are facing. But being set free from Satan's grasp is even more exciting. And we need to get a hold of that and share that with others. Let's come to the Lord in a kneeling prayer.